Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
There it is. Today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Hebrews, the 13th chapter once again. You know, I was kind of wondering, going into this Christmas season, whether or not we should continue in Hebrews or take a little sidestep. And I started to look at the verses. I realized, you know what, these are verses that are very applicable to where we're at in this Christmas season. You know, it's amazing to me when we go line upon line, precept upon precept, you have to deal with the verses that are coming next. And so, just like Jesus, when he showed up at the synagogue on the day and they opened up the scroll to the scripture for that day, And he starts to read from there and starts to talk about himself, that the Lord has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor, to release those that are bound, to heal the sick, right, to raise up the broken, and that was a word for that day. I believe that as we go to these scriptures and as I was looking at that, that this is the word of God for you and for me today in this season, headed into Christmas, that God wants to speak some things into our life. Hebrews the 13th chapter, if you'll turn there with me, we're going to take a look at two verses, verse number 20 and verse number 21. Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse number 20 and verse number 21. And if you're scratching your head saying, Pastor, you're skipping verses, we covered those verses when it comes to Christian leaders. We talked about those verses, all right? Praying for Christian leaders and how Christian leaders want to be with the people in verse number 18, 19. So verse number 20 and verse number 21 say this. Verse number 20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as I look at these verses, many of the commentaries and many different people, as you start to look at this, realize that the Apostle Paul is wrapping up his thoughts and his statements towards the church that he's writing to. Now, I believe that it's the Apostle Paul. When I look at the Pauline epistles and when I look at the language, when I look at the content as well, Paul was a Pharisee. So when I look at what it talks about of the old covenant and the knowledge that the author of Hebrews had, I think that that's probably the Apostle Paul. Could have been someone else because he never identifies himself in the letter. But no matter who it is, we recognize and we realize that this is the Holy Spirit that wrote these words and has contained them for thousands of years in the scriptures, not just for our information, but that we could get a revelation and that this could be something that moves us into our life. See, this is not just the Apostle Paul wrapping up a letter. This is not him writing sincerely, love me, right? Not just saying with love or that sort of a thing and just wrapping up and he didn't have anything else to say, so he started this great benediction. No, this is the word of God for you and this is the word of God for me. And today as we go through these verses, I believe that you're going to see yourself in these verses in light of what is said. That these are things that as they drop down into your spirit and as they work their way into your life, that you are going to be blessed. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be able to face a new day. That there's going to be some great things that happen in your life. See, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse number 20, it says, now may the God of peace, that's actually the title for today's message, is the God of peace. Because God gives himself this title. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit that's writing this letter to you and to me today. This is not just some old history lesson. This is not antiquated things that don't apply to our lives. This is the word of the Lord for you and for me. And so when God calls himself the God of peace, it speaks something to each and every one of our lives. In fact, if you look out there in the world, you realize that there's not a lot of peace out there in the world. Is that right? I mean, people are freaking out. There's things taking place. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's violence on the earth. We look around even in our city and the things that are taking place. Maybe you're looking even in your own life and the economy and the financial situation that you're in. You know, just recently, a couple days ago, they had the stock market crashing after an announcement was made. And all of a sudden, an hour later, it starts to uptick again. And people are making t-shirts. I survived the hour-long downturn. Turn of the economy, right? Making jokes. But literally, there's no peace. Anytime something happens, we're just tipped over. It's like we're living in a glass house. Anybody throws a rock, things start to crumble all around us. You know, stuff happens on the news and you hear the reports and then all of a sudden you start to take a look at your life and the kids are going south and the marriage isn't working out and you start to look at the job and things are being stated and they're having layoffs again and I don't know what's going to happen and the boss is on your case and you're wondering what's going to take place in the future. Now, not to mention that not only that, there's plaguing thoughts and maybe some of you in this place are losing sleep at night because of your past or because of things that are taking place or maybe you're worried about the future. I have one family member that has another family member on their side that they said that after 9/11, they started to worry so bad they took up smoking and drinking alcohol because they just were so worried about 9/11. And things are increasing. terror attacks and different things are taking place on the earth. There's division in our land. In fact, when I take a look at this situation socially in our land, it doesn't seem like it's getting any better after decades of headway and forming unions and bonds and building bridges. It seems like all around us, people are burning those bridges down. And we're in a worse state than we were in the first place. But in the midst of all that, we find from the word of the Lord that God calls himself the God of peace. That means that regardless of what's happening around us, that we can experience something with God that supersedes the natural order of life around us. And it starts with what God gives us. We can have peace with God. You know, humanity was at odds with God. Humanity, from the beginning, there in the garden, if you read in the book of Genesis, you'll find Adam and Eve, they were in a perfect circumstance. They were in a peaceful place. They had union and unity with God. They experienced his presence there in the garden. God gave them everything that they had need of, and yet there was one tree that he gave them a commandment, you shall not eat of its fruit, and yet here Eve is deceived and she eats of it. Here she hands to her husband Adam, who rebels, and now there is war with God. There's enmity, there's division, there's death all of a sudden, and there is no longer any peace. And now all of a sudden there's the great cover-up. They realize that they're naked. They start to cover themselves, and then it sends them out. And we realize through what God states, the judgments that are pronounced over their lives, that there's now going to be toil. There's now going to be thistles and thorns. There's now going to be pain. There's now going to be a process that they have to go through. Through the sweat of their brow, from the dust they came into the dust they shall return. All of a sudden there's no more peace. And yet God realizes the condition we're in, and all of us, the Bible tells them in the book of Romans, the third chapter, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In fact, Romans goes on to tell us that even though we didn't all sin like Adam sinned, that we all rebelled in one way or another. Maybe it was because you put your hand in the cookie jar and grabbed what you should not have grabbed. Maybe because you told those little white lies and you thought, no one's listening, and yet God was listening. Maybe you started to cheat on a test, or you started to cheat on your taxes. Maybe it was cheating on your spouse. Maybe it was cheating in your mind. See, Jesus upped the ante, didn't he? He said, if you've done it in your heart, it's as if you've actually done it. So you said, well, I've never committed murder, but have you hated your brother in your heart? Because if so, Jesus said, you've committed murder already. Now all of a sudden we realize that we've offended God and we are at war with God. Now we could go to God and say, God, I've got peace terms. God, I want to lay down my arms. God, I want to have peace between us. I don't want you to send me to hell. God, I think that, you know, I could clean up my act. But you know what? With your actions, with your heart, in the natural, in the flesh, you're always going to do those things that are opposed to God, because the flesh wars against the spirit. And that war will continue. See, we don't have the power in ourselves to end the battle. We don't have the power in ourselves to win the war or to stop the war or to bring a peace delegation to God. See, there is justice that has to be served. God is a just God, and his justice must be fulfilled and satisfied. And so we couldn't have it in our own power. So God, in his mercy, God, in his loving kindness, God, in his grace, stepped down in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and he took on himself the punishment for our sin, and he ended the war. He did away with the enmity. That's what your Bible says. If you want to turn with me in Romans, the fifth chapter, turn there with me in Romans, the fifth chapter. Verse number one, look at what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who now comes and we can be justified. What does that mean? It's just as if I'd never sinned. That when God sees the satisfactory death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gavel of heaven comes down and he declares us not guilty. He looks at our lives now and he no longer sees that old sinner. He sees the saint. Why? Because Jesus Christ has now covered our sins. We are now robed in Christ. And now when God looks at you, he sees Jesus all over you. And he sees that the price was paid for your sins. That has been satisfied. In fact, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20, in the Old King James Version says this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus came and universal universally reconciled all things back to the Father, and he's waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. See, in Jesus Christ, that word reconciliation is an accounting term. It means that you had a debt. You had something that you owed. There was a bill to be paid, and you came up lacking. You could not pay the bill. In fact, we had accrued such a debt, hadn't we? In our foolish lifestyle, in our living, and all the things that we did, in our carousing, and our drunkenness, and all the different things that took place, things that we're ashamed of now. We could not ever pay that debt back to God. And when we come to God in ourselves, and God takes a look at the accounting of our life, because we're all going to give an accounting of our life, we're all going to tell God what we did while in this body, whether good or whether evil, and judgment will be pronounced over our lives. But when you come to God, and you come to God through Jesus Christ, see, now you've got an advocate with the Father on your behalf. Jesus has come because that debt couldn't be paid and there was war, but Jesus said, I'm going to reconcile all things. What does that mean? When you add up all of your life, all of your sin, all of your stain, everything that you had against God and God had against you, and when you look through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ now, he adds up, and now it says the bill has been paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has satisfied the demands of the Father, and now he's reconciled all things back to himself. The accounting adds up in him. We can have peace with God. In fact, isn't that what the angels proclaimed? On the night that Jesus was born, we just sang, O Holy Night. And here, there's shepherds out watching their flocks by night. And here comes an angel and proclaims to them that this day in the city of David is born the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there's a heavenly host surrounding them. And look at what happens in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 14. And they say something. Listen to what the angel song says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. You know that Jesus is the goodwill of God towards your life. Jesus is the expression of the Father's love on your behalf, that you don't have to be at odds with God any longer. You don't have to be at war with him anymore. No, Jesus has came and he has settled that debt. He has reconciled all things to himself. And now Jesus is the peace child that's been given for you and for me. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because we have peace with God, we can experience the peace of God. Let me say that again. Because we have peace with God, we can experience the peace of God. I love what Rick Renner said in his book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek. He's a Greek scholar in the New Testament, and he talks about this word in the Greek for peace. He also talks about the Hebrew word shalom. Many of you guys know that word shalom, meaning wholeness, meaning completeness, right? Talking about our salvation, when you receive the peace of God into your life, you get that wholeness, you get that completeness. But talking about peace, peace in the Greek in the New Testament, as well as in its counterpart, shalom in the Old Testament, he says one of the meanings of the word peace is, listen to this, I love this, tranquility of the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. Let me say that again. It's just a beautiful expression. Listen to this. Tranquility of soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. He goes on and he gives another definition of it. Listen to what he says. He says it is the rule of order in the place of chaos. I like that one. The rule of order in the place of chaos. Think about your life. Think about your situation. Think about those things that take away and rob you of your peace. In the midst of all that, if you have Jesus the King living on the inside of your life, if he is in your heart now, then you have the rule of order, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace in the midst of chaos. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. Doesn't matter what's taking place in the world. Doesn't matter what happened on the job. Doesn't matter who's talking about you behind your back. Doesn't matter what they're saying, what you have or what you don't have, who's there with you or who abandoned you. When you've got the Prince of Peace living on the inside of you, you have the rule of order in the midst of chaos. There was an art competition that took place. I heard the story about an art competition, much like we have in our present day modern society on the internet when they have the mashups. You heard about that. They have these art competitions online and they take like Marvel comic superheroes versus like a unicorn. And you got to draw a picture of that and submit it. And whoever wins, like wins a t-shirt with a unicorn or something stupid like that on it, right? But this was a real legit art competition. This was for fine arts. And so they had this art competition where they had these painters that were fine art painters, paint beautiful pictures, photorealistic, just drive you crazy how amazing their gifts and their talents are. And the theme of theirs was not Marvel Comics or anything like that. The theme of their art competition was, we want you to paint a fine art picture, a painting. And we want you to paint it with the theme, peace. Whatever brings you peace, whatever image will invoke in those who look on that painting, peace. We want you to paint a picture of that. And so all of these artists gathered together and they painted their pictures and they came and some painted portraits of people who they were peacemakers and people who maybe their mom or somebody who brought them peace throughout their life. Some of them painted pictures of cityscapes or places that brought them peace, landscapes, beautiful sweeping vistas. And finally, they brought together and they had the judges come and they took a look at all the paintings and they picked two. One of them was the runner-up and one of them was the winner. And they wanted to contrast these two paintings next to each other to show the difference and to show why the winner was the one who brought the best expression of peace through their painting. And so here they are, and they've gathered all the artists together, and there's a big crowd that's waiting and very anticipation, right, waiting to see what the paintings were. And so the runner-up comes up, and he introduces himself, introduces the title of his painting, and then he grabs a hold of that cloth that was covering his painting, and he pulls it back. And everybody leans in, and they look for it, and immediately they know why it says peace. It's a beautiful mountain vista. It's a bright, sunny day. There's not a cloud in the sky, not a bird in the air. There's not a tree moving. There's nothing. It's just completely, perfectly still. There's a long lake that's headed up and it reflects like glass all of the picture of the mountains around it. And there's not a ripple on the water. There's not a wave on the shore. It is just completely still, completely peaceful. And everybody took a breath. Ah, that's peaceful. That looks beautiful. I wish I could be there right now. Look at how gorgeous that is. It just brings a warm, peaceful feeling to me when I look at that. I would love to have that in my house. So everybody thought, well, if that's the runner-up, what on earth could be the winner? So the winner came up and he introduced himself, introduced the title of his painting, and he grabbed a hold of the cloth that covered his painting and he pulled it back and everybody gasped. Because what they were looking at was a picture that didn't look peaceful. It wasn't calm and it wasn't still. In fact, it was a rushing river that was pouring over the side of a cliff. It was coming down the side of a mountain in a roaring waterfall. The mist was spraying upward. There was a storm all over. You couldn't see any stars. You couldn't see any sky, but it was a moon. The moon was in the background illuminating this. And you could tell it was there, but it was so dark and so cloudy that the clouds covered it and you got no vision of it. The trees were bent over from the wind and the wind was blowing all of the leaves off the trees and it was just tumultuous. In fact, there was rocks and things coming off of this waterfall because with the increase in rain, all of a sudden the waters were overflowing the banks of this river coming down this waterfall. Now on the side of this waterfall, as they continued to look, they noticed something very small, very faint, but it was still very prominent in this painting. There was a branch and the branch was bent over by the weight of the water. And there nestled in the branch was a nest of birds. And here was the mother bird there with her chicks all around her and her wings spread out over them, covering them in the midst of this storm, in the midst of the waterfall, bringing them peace. See, that was the reason why he was the winner, because it expressed that doesn't matter what's going on in the circumstances around, that there was still peace in the midst of that trial. Some of you guys are going through a storm in life today. Some of you guys feel like that waterfall is cascading down on your head. Some of you guys feel like the bottom fell out. Some of you guys don't know how you're going to make it. You're looking to the future with expectation of fear and bad things. And yet, if you have the Prince of Peace, if you have the peace with God, then now you can have peace of God in every area of your life. I love what Thomas Watson said. He said, if God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there's a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. You say, but Pastor, my peace is being robbed. How is your peace being robbed? It's being robbed by my sin. I just can't get over it. I can't get over the fact that I messed up and I continue to mess up. Listen, the Bible tells us that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that you can go to God. You can confess your sin. You need to go to God. And you need to confess it and say, God, I recognize and I realize that I was wrong, I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. I turn from that evil sin. And now I'm going to do 180 degree turn and turn back towards you, God, and then stop it. Clean up your life. Do what you have to do to get past those things. If you need an accountability partner, if you need to get rid of the pornography that's in your house, if you need to clean up and get the drugs out of your house, maybe some of you need to go to the authorities and turn yourself in. It doesn't matter. Listen, do what it takes because God will take care of you throughout your lifetime. You don't have to be bound by sin. And listen, if the devil keeps bringing up your past, remind him of his future. Jesus took care of that sin at the cross. Notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 20. It says, now may the God of peace, everybody say the God of peace. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I am not that old sinner any longer by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am now a saint, and every day I'm getting better and better and better. God is sanctifying me completely, body, soul, and spirit. Now I am renewed, and it's going from glory to glory, and God knows how to preserve you and me blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to let sin trouble you any longer. But Pastor, the devil's just been beating me up. Satan's been showing up. He's messing with me, Pastor. He's robbing me of my peace. Listen to what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 16, verse number 20. And the God of peace. Everybody say the God of peace. And the God of peace will crush Satan where? Under your feet shortly. Maybe you didn't realize this, but Jesus already whipped the devil at the cross. You say, well, Pastor, then why is he messing with me? Because God wants you to stand up as a child of God. Get your armor on, swords up, shields out, and you start to stomp on the devil. You have the authority of God. It's time to take that authority. Because when the enemy is wiped out, you've got peace. And God is the God of peace who will crush Satan shortly underneath your feet. Well, the world, Pastor, I see the world system. I see the economy. I see all the stuff that's going on. Governments are rising up. Governments are falling. People are taking over stuff that we thought is no longer the way that it was. All the different stuff that's going on out there in the world. I mean, it's just not how it used to be. In the 50s and 60s, things were better, but then things started to change in the 60s. And now there's all this stuff socially that's going on, and racially that's going on, and economically that's going on. What am I going to do? Listen to what Jesus says in John, the 16th chapter. Verse number 33, these things I've spoken to you. You know, Jesus said a lot, didn't he? Jesus is the Word. He gave us this Bible. This is the manual for life. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Don't get me wrong. It is not good out there, guys. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Grease lightning down the pole, right? They're shooting down. They want to drag you down with them. But listen, Jesus said, I leave you my peace. You don't have to be troubled like the world. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You can have the peace of God in any and every situation and circumstance. But Pastor, my mind, I'm plagued with thoughts. I can't sleep at night. I don't know what to do, Pastor. I just always have these thoughts that are coming at me, that are coming against me. What do I do? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, if you can't sleep at night, it's time to start getting with Jesus. It's time to start calling on the Prince of Peace. It's time to get your thoughts on God and trust in God and cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 4, write it down. If you're having trouble sleeping, write it down. And tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to take the gospel pill, all right? Not a sleeping pill, the gospel pill, all right? I want you to take it as many times as you need it. I want you to read Psalm 4 because it says, perfect peace, right? And it says that I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. You can lie down and have a good night's sleep in the things of God because God is with you. See, we don't just have peace with God and the peace of God, but ultimately we have the God of peace. Remember what the Bible says, that God who raised up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the God of peace who raised up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, God is our shepherd, isn't he? If you don't have peace, all you got to do is start to think about the shepherd that's with you. Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Well, when you want, when you have a desire that's unmet, all you're thinking about is that desire. You don't have any more peace. I got to have it. I need to get it. I don't know how to get it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. God, I want that. I need that. God, what are you going to do? God, how's it going to happen? But if the Lord your shepherd, you shall not want. Why? Because he leads you beside still, peaceful waters. You can go and have a drink and not worry about getting it all up in your nose. He makes me to lie down, rest, peace in green pastures. You want to eat, you could have a bite. He restores my soul. If you've been troubling your soul, it's time to go to the shepherd. He will restore you. He leads me for his name's sake. God's got me in his care. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, I don't care who's backbiting, who's talking about you. I don't care if it's the devil himself is sitting outside your door. You can sit down and have a nice meal in the presence of God because the Lord is your shepherd. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, you may be going through a dark time in your life right now. Somebody who you thought was going to be there for the long haul might have left. They might have died. They might have abandoned you. You might have thought that you would have and you don't have. Money might have grown wings and flew away. How many of that has that happened to all of us, right? It may have been that you're depressed, you're downcast, and you're discouraged. But listen, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, the shepherd, if you're close to the shepherd, when you start getting away from the shepherd, he'll take that shepherd's staff and just put you on, come on, little sheep, over here now. You don't have to worry about getting going in the wrong direction. God will get you back on course. He knows how to do that. And whenever a savage wolf, whenever a lion starts growling and snarling at you in the middle of the night, God will raise up the shepherd's staff and he will take that sucker out on your behalf. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, eternally, you are secure in God. When you have Jesus Christ, you have it all. The Lord is your shepherd. See, we've got the God of peace, and we are in covenant with God. You say covenant, what does that mean? Covenant. Covenant is a binding agreement. It's the closest, most solemn, most sacred of all contracts. In fact, the best example for all of us today of a covenant would be marriage. You know, when I married my wife, we became one. The Bible says the two shall become one flesh. There's no longer Dan and Jessica. There's now Danica. Or you could say Mr. and Mrs. Roth, all right? But listen, she took on my name and I became Jessica's husband. That happened. And what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. Amen. Come on, men, say amen. You know it's true. Showed up in my pajamas the other night. I'm like, what are you doing? I like them. All right. But listen, we're one. We don't have two separate bank accounts. We got one bank account. It's not my money and her money. It's our money, right? Those kids that we're raising, they're not my kids. They're not her kids. They're our kids. We're raising them. There's no longer Dan, no longer Jessica. There's us. We're one. I'm her. She's me. That's why when the car gets a little ding on the door because somebody did something stupid, we had an accident. We're one. We're in covenant. When I said yes to her, I said no to all others, right? Your yes will determine your no. When you said yes to Jesus, come on, somebody. When you said yes to Jesus, you became one with the Lord. You are now in covenant with Almighty God. And when you said yes to the God of peace, you said no to fear. You said no to frustration. You said no to the devil. You said no to the world. You said no to anything that would rob you of peace. Why? Because you are one with the God of peace. And when you have God with you, my goodness, everything that God has is yours. The peace that God has is your peace. The resource that God has is your resource. Listen, that's why when you come to church and we say, it's time to bring tithes and offerings, you can say, okay, God, it's our money, so I'm going to bring it to you. But then when you go home and there's that stack of bills sitting there that you don't know how you're going to pay, you say, okay, God, time to get out our checkbook. Let's pay these bills. There are bills. Come on. God is a debtor to no man. God's going to pay those bills. Why? Because they're his bills. You're one. If you need strength, God will give you his strength. If you need support, God will lift you up. He will be there for you. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Why? Because you are in covenant. You have become one with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. His spirit has been given to you, and your spirit has been given to him. You are now one. God himself and his peace are yours. Let me say that one more time. God himself and his peace are yours. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you go to the book of Hebrews and start to head back towards the front of your Bible, you'll run into 2 Thessalonians. Chapter number 3, right towards the end. So if you find 1 Timothy, just back up a couple verses. Look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 16 says this. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace," everybody say, "the Lord of peace, himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." See, when God is with you, you don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder how you're going to make it, how you're going to take it, what's going to happen in the future. You don't have to fear about your past. Listen, you can rest in the God of peace, because any situation, notice what it says in the Bible, the Lord of peace himself, do what? Give you peace. And how long should he give it to you? What's the next word? Always. You know, I looked up this word. I was shocked to find out its meaning. You know what always means in the Bible? It means always. It means when you get the pink slip on the job, there's peace with God. It means that when you're here preaching, this happened to me, guys. When you're here preaching, you get a report, your son just went in the hospital. You can keep preaching, save some souls, and then go see him afterwards, and he's just fine. My son is fine today. Well, when you're putting on a big event, and all of a sudden the sewage in the house backs up, that happened to us last week, up to our ankles in poo. Come on, somebody. Some of you guys, you said the poo hit the fan, right? But listen, you can have the peace of God in any and every situation. When you show up to family dinner and everybody's been talking about you and they get real quiet when you walk in the room and they look at you sheepishly like, Everybody be quiet, they're here. You can have peace and you can love them through it. Why? Because the Lord himself will give you peace always. And look at this, in every way, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, you've got the God of peace on the inside of you. You are one with the Father and you can experience peace that passes all understanding every day of your life. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise today for his peace. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're so grateful for your word today. We receive it with an open heart, God. We receive it with meekness, readily submitted to your word. God, help us to live in and walk in your peace, God. We have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ so that we can have the peace of God. But even greater than that, God, we know that you're with us, you're in us, you're through us, God. Because you are the God of peace, alive on the inside of us. If you're here in this place today and you're saying, "I'm not experiencing that peace," maybe today you forgot. You got off track and started worrying, fearing, frustrated. Would you just take one hand and lift it up to the Lord as a symbol that I'm reaching up and I'm going to receive something right now? And let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every hand that's stretched towards heaven. God, right now, that you would impart supernatural peace in the midst of their storm. God, whatever's raging around them, Lord, I thank you that it will not touch them. That they're under the shadow of your wings, God. That they can rest in your presence. That no plague shall come near their dwelling. The righteous shall look on it with their eyes, but it shall not touch them. Thank you, Father God. Every provision is met right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that right now, every situation reconciled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, every broken relationship restored. Every hurt mended in the name of Jesus. Forgiveness and love can flow in Jesus' name, God, because you brought peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a great big praise today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.